Hi, I'm Dr. Dave, host of Rockin' with Doc. Come join me to explore the world of music and let it drive your soul. You'll hear songs like...
Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
And this... About some classics like this. No matter what you'd like, you'll hear it here. Now on Mondays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Join me Mondays for the All Song Request Hour, where you, the listener, gets to pick the tunes, and then Saturdays for my weekly themed playlist.
Hello, and yes, welcome back to Sunday Morning Spiritual. It seemed like my Skype connection decided it didn't want to play ball. So everything went dead. So just to put everybody in the picture, I had to restart my computer. And but the strange thing is, David and Johan called me on Skype and it went through to my phone, but it wouldn't come through to my computer. Anyway, we're still here, aren't we, David?
Here and battling on, Father.
And while all that went on, Johan is with us as well. Hello, Johan.
Oi, oi. Yeah. Honored to be here.
Well, you know, it's strange things have been happening this morning, because on Jill's show, Inspirational Voices, earlier on, the connection went. No, it went back to auto. Yet all my connections, my end, were perfect, and I think we lost it for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then it just came back on again. So we've got the gremlins working this morning, David.
I'm not sure about gremlins. I don't trust technology, you see. I think that's the American religion.
Yeah, perhaps.
I don't trust a bit of it. And he's got to stop using words like classic. Mozart is a classic, not pop music. There we are, I'm having a rant.
I like this comment, right, that Paul Chadwick, hello Paul, has put in the chat room. Alan shines a light on every darkened day, must be the radioactive porridge.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh dear, I don't eat porridge. Yeah. Might be the way to
mix. Oh my God, is he talking about Ready Break from years ago? Do you remember those adverts?
I do, yes, I do.
Those glowing children, yeah. Walking to school in a sinister way.
Right. Perhaps we were being told then that we have been invaded. Who knows?
You're determined, aren't you? All right, Johan, what do you think about... Let's just... Johan, what do you think about UFOs?
Just before you do, Johan, right, I'll tell all the listeners, David says, whatever you do, don't get Johan talking about UFOs. And I've done it.
It was so nice to get that push.
Oh, just get on with it. There's no avoiding it this morning, is there?
Go on. What's your take on UFOs then, yeah, man?
Oh, I firmly believe there is life in the universe that we do not yet comprehend, and we have not encountered yet, and signs are that... Earth has been at least visited, if not impacted by so-called aliens. When that is said and done, what does it mean? Basically, it's a call for us humans to find unity. My eyes.
Well,
why would it be a call to unity? I mean, you can't just leave it here. So say the universe is teeming with life in forms recognizable to us, because of course it might be teeming with life in forms completely imperceptible to us.
Well,
why would that call us into unity, you see?
Well, in my eyes, this is our planet, they are coming here. So I would see them as visitors and as a good host. I would prefer to get my shit together than greeting a new visitor. I mean it's common among hosts and guests to don't be so frustrated and out of sorts.
Your turn, Alan.
Well, you see, I can't believe for one moment that we're the only, in inverted commas, intelligent life force in the universes. Whether they would be able to communicate with us and vice versa, I have no idea. I mean, there's something about the English-speaking world that kind of thinks that the only correct way of communication is English in all its different forms, i.e. American English, etc. Yet we tend to think that... and what is it about the British in particular, that if you've got somebody from another country, and shall we say from another planet, if you shout at them in English, they will suddenly understand what you're on about. And you've probably come across that yourself, Johan, in some kinds of,
it's the movies.
Yeah,
indeed. I reckon it's typical. Now, when encountering some foreigners, they just speak louder, and then suddenly the foreigner understands what the English people are talking about.
How do you see that, David?
Well, it depends on the part of the world. I mean, Americans can't speak English for a start. If you're in Russia, they expect you all to be speaking in Russian, and when you shout at them in Russian, then you're expected to understand. So it really does depend on the part of the world. I apologise to my American friends. It was a joke. It was a joke that you can't spell. I've always thought this world was covered with glittering footsteps, with glittering footballs from somewhere else. I've always thought that. But whether I was teasing Johan in a private conversation a couple of months ago, why aren't they making contact? Are they making contact? And I said, well, yeah, just because there are intelligent communities, you're assuming that they wanted to. Why don't you go to the end of the road and try and communicate with a local anthill? They're an intelligent community. They're getting on with their business. Why wouldn't you do that? So it depends what we think we're dealing with.
I like the comment that Susan's put in the chat room. There's certainly alien life forms on trains, particularly on Monday morning. I like that.
That's a pop part of the country you're from. Certainly in London all day, every day. and also, are they physical? I mean, we're assuming sci-fi's got a lot to blame. I mean, it's meant to be... Oh, God, who was it? Somebody years back said Americans develop science fiction because they don't have folklore. And I thought that was an incredibly interesting remark. They don't have, in other words, the collective organic communal memory that goes back in Europe for thousands of years.
Yes.
Since they're lacking that, perhaps it comes out in that way, those needs come out in that way. But, the sort of the guy getting off the flying saucer and waving his hands about. What if they're not even physical? I mean, there was a novel by Arthur C. Clarke called Childhood's End, whereas, if memory serves me correctly, the intelligence encountered was actually a cloud of gas. And it took musicians to actually work out a way to communicate with it, because it used a tonal scale for communication. Not anything like a larynx or a throat, because it simply didn't have one. I think the lack of imagination in all of this is what strikes me. Every time I see a UFO, I actually do believe in UFOs.
I
suspect most, But, that means nothing. It means unidentified. It doesn't mean alien spaceship. You know, most of them are going so slow they wouldn't even get to the moon, you know, by a couple of years. So I think we've got to rule out interstellar travel. Most of them are aerodynamic, which makes me deeply suspicious of their origin. You know, why are they worrying about atmospheric conditions across the Earth? Because they're from here.
Awesome.
You know, so I think we've got to be much more imaginative in our search for those footsteps.
But also, David and Johan, the scientists have shown and proven that there are black holes in space. Now, what about if some really far-reaching, intelligent, far more intelligent than we've got to, have found a way of using the black holes as like shortcuts, like we'd build tunnels in castles to lead you to different parts of the castle without anybody knowing, and coming through bookcases and things like that. Imagine that on an incredible scale, that they've literally found a route through all these different black holes to lead us to our universe and our galaxy. That's not beyond the possibility. What's your thought about
Johan,
shall I talk?
Yes, say something.
Yeah, I think that frankly we don't know what is out there, but I would want to shed a light on another subject. I see that Edward Snowden has been out yet again talking about some species living inside Earth. That's interfering with our way of being in a way.
That's an interesting story. I mean, from what I've heard, and that's a very old idea, of course, a much more advanced civilization than our own, actually, somewhere beneath us. But the version I'd heard was that they were so far ahead of us, they're actually not bothered about what we do, like human beings with anthills. So what have you heard now?
I've heard that they are kind of feeding off us, and governments around the world are planning to blow up the caves that connect us to them, and so on.
I think if they're that advanced, that's a bit silly.
Yeah, I think so too, but...
Anyway, they're meant to have huge psychic powers. They're probably listening to this conversation. Oh my god, maybe they saw it coming and they're fiddling around with Alan's Sam broadcaster. Yeah,
probably.
Maybe it's them. It's all them. It's not us, it's only them.
Yeah.
They are the source of everything.
The swines.
Yeah, well, there's so many things unanswered, isn't there? You know, and we've learned such a lot in the last 100 years, I suppose, particularly, but definitely in the last 20 or 30 years. Science in the last 20, 30 years has gone forward so much to find different things out. Yet a lot of these answers were already with us centuries ago. It's just that they weren't recognized.
I've heard that too. Yeah. It seems that different branches of government wants to keep a lid on advanced technology for some reason. To me it sounds like some bad science fiction, but there well.
I'll tell you what, shall we take a break? And could this be appropriate as well, what's been going on this morning? Annie Lennox, I put a spell on you.
I put a spell on you because you're mine. You better stop the things you do. I tell you, I ain't lying.
Want to hear different viewpoints on the spirit world? Then join Alan Cox as he talks with his guests about their beliefs, experiences, and delve into a diverse view of life and the afterlife. Join Alan Cox for Understanding Spirit every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, here on the Paramania Radio Network.
How did I get in on that one? Thanks to Dave Erickson for my new promo. If you can't promote yourself, who can you promote? Anyway, very kindly, Johan Alstead, Father Johan Alstead, has come on because our scheduled guest couldn't be with us. And thank you very much indeed for that, Johan. Very good of you. Brilliant. Can I switch the subject on to Gnosticism? And... because you're coming over here in December, aren't you, for our first proper Gnostic ceremony, I suppose, really, isn't it, Dave?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, certainly I'll be speaking to Mother Amanda this afternoon. I mean, you know, the minute we're dealing with other countries, obviously things become a lot more speculative because people have to travel, and we've got to get venues, and we've got to coordinate diaries. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the date is already announced, and at least us three will be doing something on that date. We will be performing a Gnostic ritual.
Yes.
Mother Amanda is doing her best, I think, to coordinate with that. And certainly I'm in France, so we're planning ahead next February.
Right.
You know, everything should be according to plan. And the trouble at the moment is there are too few of us in Britain. It's that typical British thing which I've always detested. Let's make it sort of amateurish and get everybody's auntie involved. That's where it gets nowhere, you see. That's when it gets nowhere. So I'm trying to think, okay, let's put down some roots and say, look, we're here and we're serious and we're not going anywhere. But, you know, that, as I say, that's when it gets more complicated because diaries and travel and accommodation and venues instantly raise their heads, and then we've got to think, oh my heavens, what are we doing? And let's coordinate as best we can, but at least us three will be together and we will be doing something.
Well, yeah, we definitely are doing something, but it'd really be good if what we can't forget is that yourself, David, Johan, and myself, in our prospective countries, we've actually made history. There's no other way of saying it. I don't know about Norway, but over in England, as you rightly point out, David, records were destroyed, and there's no record of any Gnostic bishop or priest in England for at least 700 years. It might be, then there's never been one. We don't know.
But yeah.
Is it a similar situation in Norway, Johan?
No. Mostly because we haven't had any Gnostics before.
So you are the first?
I'm the first no, there are actually some Americans some who have been to America and been ordinated there, but I'm the first Gnostic who has been ordinated in Norway, I think.
Right, okay.
So,
well, that's
quite amazing.
Well, that's really, when you think about it, is worth notoriety, isn't it? It's worth celebrating and letting people know. Because I think the age that we are in now, that we live in now, is an age of discovery, and I think it's an age of people starting to look further afield to acknowledge that there's different ways. And of course, we've got this awful situation going on with the ISIS, who are trying to get people to live under their austerity, which it seems like is being defeated. But a lot of the world is trying to open their eyes and see different people's point of view. I don't know how you see that one, David.
People need to get a bigger perspective. You know, if you think, you were mentioning earlier, Alan, you know, that we live in a multiverse, we live in an omniverse. I mean, that's how far science has gone at the minute. Universe after universe after universe. And if you think certain people think a patch of land on Earth, that's God's favourite patch of land, and that's God's favourite country, and that's God's favourite country on his favourite planet, and that's his favourite planet in the solar system, and that's his favourite solar system in the galaxy, and that's his favourite galaxy. I mean, it gets ridiculous.
Yes.
It gets absolutely ridiculous. You know, we've got to think bigger if we're really going to embrace the future and, you know, open our eyes to what's around us. It doesn't hurt to be big in our thoughts and, you know, open to new types of information. That's my view anyway.
So, you see, my way of looking at being a Gnostic is to convey a thought, a message for people to ponder on, to whether it resonates with them. And if it doesn't, it doesn't, and that's fine. But to resonate that there is more ways of looking at life and at death, and to respect other people's thoughts and values, and recognizing that, spirit has a big part to play in our everyday lives, even if we don't realize it. Is that the way that you see things, David?
Well, I mean, you know, why can't we live and let live? Whatever happened to that old-fashioned view? That was a good one.
Yes.
You know, and why can't we respect each other? You know, you might not see... I don't like relativism. That's your truth. I think that's when we get into dangerous waters, and that's obviously logically nonsensical. You know, there is, gravity is not a social construct. You know, we're all kept on the earth by our thoughts that physically keeps us here. So that's your truth, that's my truth, that's nonsense. But I don't see why, when we're coming to much more sophisticated and subtle things like points of view, that we can't simply respect each other. You know, okay, I'm not a Muslim, I've got many Muslim friends as an example, and I respect them. They tend to be the more open-minded sort, right? And it's, you know, so, but we've got to keep open to other people's points of view. If people cannot see the spirit in their lives, that makes me sad. But it doesn't mean I suddenly want to torture them and lock them up in little rooms.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that. You know, since you've been a priest, Johan, have people approached you differently? Are people aware of the fact that you are now a Gnostic priest? In other words, how difficult is it in your part of Norway to get the acknowledgement?
Well, first of all, Norwegians actually have sort of a Gnostic view to begin with, so if I go around and said that's Gnostic and that's not, it would be nonsensical to them, because why should I label what they already are? That's one thing. The other thing is that when they approach me, I try to, you know, my Gnostic side is something I will reveal only if I find it prudent or if they ask.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm concentrated on being a good person.
Well, you can't do better than that. Whatever labels we put on ourselves or on other people, when it just comes down to it, is what you just said, trying to be a good person and do things correctly for the right reasons. I know you'd agree with that, David, wouldn't you?
Yes, of course. You know, and I'm a member of the Fellowship of Isis, amongst other things, and I remember... We used to hold pub moots. I mean, in the pagan community, pub moots are still... I'm sick of pub moots. You know, people get together, there's a speaker, and everyone has a drink and maybe some food, and it's very nice, but it's a social occasion. It's not what people are saying it is. They're only social occasions, but they're very nice. But it was there was a guy called Steve Wilson, who I used to know years back, who was going to become one of the leaders of the Fellowship of Isis organization, started by Lady Olivia Robertson, of course. And we, before one of these meetings, I think it was one of the meetings I was due to speak at, he looked very grim. I mean, he was a sort of jolly fellow with a pint in hand normally, and I thought, that's odd. And he announced that three members in Africa had literally been dragged from their houses and burnt to death. Okay. Simply because they were members of the Fellowship of Isis.
Well,
I'm very cautious of intolerance.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the initials and the way it said Isis, I'm just making it clear to any possible listeners that we're not talking about the Isis that's active in Syria at the moment, are we? It's totally different.
Well, that's ignorance on their part.
Yes,
I mean, it's ISIS. Not
yeah.
ISIS.
Yeah.
No, and also Daesh is the word that's used in that part of the world. It's not used, you know, isn't it? That's the correct word for them. They're not ISIS.
Yeah.
And it was ISA in the first place, not ISIS.
Yes. Yeah. No, I just wanted to make it clear, because it's amazing people can listen and they all make their own interpretation on it. So I just wanted clarity for everybody, not for me, but for people out there who might misunderstand.
Oh, that's the teacher in me coming out, Alan. Why can't they bloody wake up and pay attention? There we are, I said.
No, but it's a fact, isn't it? People will listen on to what they want to listen on to. So.
Not in my presence.
That's fair enough. But yeah, it's that's what you just said there was horrendous. Just for...
Yeah.
You can't get your head around, you know. And of course, that still is going on today, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. I mean, they were burnt alive. I didn't even know whether... I don't think anybody on that occasion knew whether they were priests or priestesses. But, you know, to become a member of an organisation and literally to be hauled out of their houses and murdered. To be honest, that's what makes me suspicious of certain types of traditional values. Because we forget not all of them are positive.
Yeah, indeed. So, I don't know a lot about the history of Norway, Johan. What kind of belief, shall we say, religion or worship is traditional, shall we say, in Norway?
Well, we went through the same route as many other countries did. We went from paganism to monotheism. We are famous for the Vikings, of course. And,
yes.
In that period, we were christened by the sword. And from that time, we have been Protestants. It's only lately now that we are trying to think for ourselves.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I see. Believe it or not, David, we're out of time again.
God knows where it goes, Alan. Well, God knows.
And it goes even quicker when
you've
got dead air time for about 5 minutes when you're trying to sort things. Right. So, Johan, I'd like to thank you very much for being there and joining us, because it's always really
thank
good to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting.
Yeah. And I look forward to meeting you again in December. That'd be brilliant. So,
likewise.
So it's time for us to go then, David.
So it's goodbye from me and...
It's good night. Goodbye from him. Yes, we'll do the two Ronnies. And I never want to say goodbye, but I have to say goodbye. And Jimmy Somerville can't say goodbye, but it's goodbye.